Ladies and gentlemen, the Dog and Pony Show is about to begin. And if anybody's outside, would they please come in? In the British House of Commons, they have a custom. If you are about to make a speech on something in which you are personally involved or have been, you always have to announce your interest. And I hereby announce my interest, as they say in the House of Commons. In an earlier incarnation, I worked for the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions. And my second announcement of an interest is that one of the three members of the panel is an old and dear friend of mine, Irving Brown, whom I've known for almost 40 years. And having seen him in operation at close range, I regard him as one of the most effective fighters against communism that I've ever known. I'm, of course, referring, as I say, to Irving Brown, who I think would agree with the late Golda Meir. She was once heard to say, "I don't know why we use a French word like détente when there's a perfectly good word in English, Cold War." And I'm sure we'd all agree on that. I wish Mr. Kissinger had realized that, and Mr. Nixon, that that's the synonym for détente. Now, one of the Soviet Union's major targets in the Cold War has been the labor movements of the old and the new countries. Specifically, the Soviet Union's operational code is, first, the international labor movement has become so important in world affairs that it can play a role in shifting the balance of forces in a pro-Soviet direction. Second, the socialist world, which the Soviet Union dominates, except for communist China, is growing stronger, so the Soviets believe, while the capitalist world, unable to solve its socio-economic problems, grows weaker. And the third point of the Soviet approach to international labor affairs is that peaceful coexistence, or détente, is a form of class struggle on an international scale and a method of weakening capitalist states by intensification of the ideological struggle. As for that third point, Brezhnev has said it over and over again during his lifetime. Now, the Soviet Union looks upon international trade unionism as a strategic transmission belt for achieving the aims of Soviet national security policies. For Lenin, trade unions had to be transformed into what he called, in his words, schools for communism. For the Soviet Union, labor organizations are important in their strategy of conquest because the unions can be used to infiltrate a government bureaucracy and in turn into serving Soviet foreign policy aims. Unions can be led into fomenting and calling political strikes. The most recent example of such a political strike was the one called by Arthur Scargill, the Soviet Union's stooge president of the British Mine Workers Union. Unions under communist control can be used for Soviet espionage purposes and in wartime for home front sabotage. All of these statements are easily documentable. In the United States, thankfully free from communist influence in or control of labor unions, these Soviet aims have little chance of fulfillment. Other speakers may disagree, and that's the purpose of this session this afternoon. In other parts of the free world, however, communism has made sharp inroads into trade unionism. The Soviet Union realizes the importance of trade unions in the struggle for power. And that's why Lenin said, and I quote from his writings, "A communist must be prepared to make every sacrifice and, if necessary, even resort to all sorts of schemes and stratagems, employ illegitimate methods, conceal the truth in order to get into the trade unions, to stay there, and to conduct the revolutionary work within," unquote. And with that introduction, let me introduce to you the director of the AFL-CIO International Affairs Department, a member of the governing body of the International Labor Organization and a member of the executive board of the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, Irving Brown.